wonder, what is one of your most embarrassing moments? I've been known to ask that question before in small groups. One of those moments in life where you were just dying to crawl under a rock and disappear. Well, I wouldn't ask you to tell yours without sharing my own. When we were in an apartment in Atlanta during my last year of seminary, we had this black cocker spaniel puppy. Her name was Comet. We tend to name our dogs after reindeer. And one night we were hanging around the apartment and I noticed that Comet had something in her mouth. She was chewing and chewing, you know, and had that look that dogs get when they're consuming something they know they shouldn't be chomping on. And as I drew near and I cracked open her unwilling jaws, she had this tinsel-like material hanging out, which I identified, I think, as a strip from a Hot Pocket box. And so I managed to get it away from her, and I thought I had properly disposed of it. End of story. Life goes on. A couple hours later, we found ourselves in a Blockbuster video store. You remember those? They were the big deal. They had thousands of movies that you could just walk up and down the aisles and try to decide which VHS tape you were going to take home and watch. And those stores could have trained TSA, for all I know. They had these huge metal detectors as you tried to leave the store to make sure nobody was getting out of there without paying for their movie rental. Well, we made our purchase and we began to walk out. Tons of people in the store. It was Friday night. And as I walked through the security scan, whoop, 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 lights flashing, alarm buzzing. The noise was loud. Everyone in the store's attention turned in my direction. A couple of employees came to me and they checked out my bag. There was a receipt for my video purchase. They said, okay, so walk through again. So I did. Whoop, 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 whoop. By this time, customers were all gathering in close to me, watching this unfold. You know, if they'd have had cell phones back then, it would have been lighting up social media. They had me take off my belt. They had me take off my watch and then go through again. Oh yeah, the pocket knife. Go through again. This was beginning to get old. And then, with dozens of onlookers watching me, suddenly an employee had an epiphany. I know what it is. I know what it is. And from the crevice at the rear of my pants, he pulls out this string that I had recovered from Comet a few hours before. And he said, I think that's our culprit. Go through one more time. I never wanted to rent another movie in my life. I have more embarrassing moments than that, let me tell you. We have them, don't we? The wedding couple was fixing to have one of their own. To run out of wine early in the wedding festivities would have been a real spoiler on one of the most memorable moments of their lives. They did weddings differently those days in Israel. The couple would have been officially married months beforehand, but she would have, the bride would have, remained with her parents for a few months. And then in a big event, the groom would have swung by the bride's home and scooped her up and brought her to his own home to live. And a days-long party would have commenced. That was that party. And the friends were all supposed to bring wine for the festivities. So if the wine gave out, that would have meant party over. It would have meant their friends were some real duds, or maybe they didn't have many of them. Well, they were probably beginning to imagine people saying in the marketplace 2 years later, "Oh yeah, remember that wedding at Cana? And how they ran out of wine so early in the festivities?" But then Jesus' mother caught wind of the problem, and she turned to the one she knew could do something about that, her son Jesus. Some suggest that as we go to this season of Epiphany, every Sunday that we come, we should approach with childlike wonder and listen to these stories and see what they reveal to us about God. An epiphany is a revelation. What is it that this story reveals to us about God? How Jesus is God. If we're looking for that today, you might say Jesus reveals to us a God who is concerned when we're concerned. A God who does seek to rescue us when everything is pointing in the direction of ruin or running out. The God revealed to us at the wedding at Cana is the God of over-the-top abundance. You know, Jesus doesn't just barely keep the situation in hand. Jesus blesses the wedding party with this superfluous supply of wine. 2.5 bathtubs full of wine, to give you an idea of the abundance. Perhaps we might begin to think of times in our own lives when we were down and out, when we were up against the wall, when we were on the brink of our own personal disaster, and then God came through like an 8-ball in the corner pocket. Perhaps we might think of those as Cana moments. Have you had Cana moments in your life? Has St. Thomas had Cana moments? Those times when you think you're most certainly on the brink of disaster, and then grace upon grace, Jesus reveals his glory. How might we develop a playlist of those Cana moments whereby we may recall how God has given us a sign, a miracle, at just the right time, that we know it must be God, it could be no other. Because there's so much of a supply and abundance, it could not have been anyone else. Those Cana moments call us to trust in the God who has delivered us in the past, to remember that that God is the same in the present and in the future. Cana moments. Like the day you feel that you're at the end of your financial rope, and in the mail, out of the blue, comes a check from your energy company 16 years ago that allows you to finish paying your monthly bills. Cana moments. Like the loneliest birthday that you've ever spent, and you wonder if anybody cares, if anybody knows you exist, if your life matters, and then you answer the doorbell, and it's 15 of your dearest friends and relatives who are standing there ready to whisk you off to a birthday meal. Cana moments. Like the day you realize your child, despite all the racial tension and ugliness that still exists in America, that your child is actually living out the world that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. envisioned, who picks their friends not on the basis of an orientation or a pigmentation, but solely on the basis of their character. Cana moments. I invite you to think about and maybe write down and maybe tell someone about a Cana moment in your life when God's grace upon grace, heaped up and flowing over, spilled out into your own situation and gave you a renewed sense of God's love and gracious presence. One other thing I find interesting in this story is the role of the servants in the story. They simply do what they're told. Jesus' mom says to the servants, "Do what he tells you." You know, I imagine they nodded and said, "Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am." Jesus says to them, "Fill up the water jars." Boom. They fill them to the brim. Jesus says, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." And they do that. In their simple acts of obedience, they become privy to the inside scoop of the miracle unfolding in their midst. Friends, this is the church. We are the servants of Christ. We are called to do what Jesus tells us. It may not be the glitzy or glamorous work. It's going here, filling that up, taking this to this person. But it is fully participating in the Cana moment that is unfolding. You know, we human beings are great at grumbling and moaning and hemming and hawing at those basic tasks. We think we have better things to do with our time. We think that what is being asked of us is beneath us. We wait for a better offer. We don't like the opportunity in front of us, and maybe even we think we'll disagree with what God is up to. That's why the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, wasn't it? Because the first time, not only did he say no, he ran in the opposite direction. He didn't think the Ninevites were worthy of his message, worthy of the grace that he knew that God would pour out on them. Blessed are those who say yes the first time, or the second, or the seventh. Blessed are we when we trust that voice that comes from without and that encourages us to do our small part in the great manifestation of God's goodness unleashed on the human condition. You know, those servants could have certainly said, "What are you thinking? I'm not going to participate in this silly prank, serving up tap water to the chief steward. Are you kidding? That could cost me my job." But they took Jesus at his command. And the water was wine. Not just wine, but good wine. Not just sufficient bottom of the barrel flip-flop Chardonnay. This was the reserve wine. This was what the royalty drank. What great things come that those who simply serve in God's kingdom get to experience firsthand. Come to the table, you servants of God, and despite the tiny way he asked you to imagine, the fullness of God's warming presence in you and among you. Imagine a Cana moment front and center in our presence today. God filling, God's servants, and sending us out with the finest wine to freely pour to people who are longing for a taste of life that transcends their painful present reality. Reveal your glory to us, Jesus, and let us believe in your next Cana moment.